this milestone episode of Tango TV's premier talkback program, Program B, where today we'll be talking about project leadership and management with some of the head honchos in the business, so to speak. Here on the program, other than, of course, Townsman of Gore, we have, which is actually your title now.
It is. Oh, that's quite excellent, yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you're in approval of it.
Good thing it's just a title.
We have TGH there, who is, of course, as we know, as manager of both Community Chess 3 and 4. Were you in joint managership with Community Chess 3, or was it just with...
The project leader for Community Chess 3 was Andy Lever, but I was the one who compiled Community Chess 3.
Oh, right. So you sort of half took over at the very end. Or...
Yeah, I was the de facto leader of the project.
And also we have Asselfordium on the program. Once again. Of course, the project.
I've been wrangled into being on the show again.
Wrangled, yes. That's the
apple. He's lying. We just can't get rid of him. He squats in the corner in the studio, and, like, the janitor tries to shove him out with the broom every night, but he just keeps coming back, so...
It's... Try as you might, it's just not gonna happen.
Well, I got wrangled onto the show.
What did you hate? I'm pretty sure he was clawing at the sort of window trying to get out, but yeah. Anyway, look, as it so happens, Tonsman is, in fact, an actual project leader in life, so I decided to be, a sensible move to allow him to sort of govern the questions for this episode. I'll sort of jump in when I can and pitch in questions as a broadcasting leader should. So, Townsman, how do we go about this topic? What to discuss for project leadership?
The main thing to discuss in project leadership is project leadership just in general in the Doom community and how I think that it fails a lot of the time. Because
Whoa, really?
Really. I do think
pretty
that...
Bold.
Yeah, project leadership and the Doom community fails a lot of times. You can really see it in a lot of the community projects that get pumped out, how we discussed Monochrome Mapping Project just last night on Where's All the Data, and how it did not meet its goals at all. And other projects recently, such as Switcheroom, and I don't know whatever happened to it, but there was that Doom 64 in Doom 2 project. Projects where somebody comes along and goes, I have an idea for a map set, and then it takes off, but nobody really, like, controls it or sets down specific guidelines to the point where it's like, what the heck is the goal of this project? Like, last night when you actually had to ask if the goal of Monochrome was to highlight the certain aspects of map design, and I think the fact that you even had to ask that question speaks volumes to the fact that I think project leadership is generally disregarded when it comes to community projects. Like, it's just something like, that guy is the leader of the project, and we expect him to do all this extra stuff, but there isn't really, like, a strict code enforcing that, and outside of, like, Community Chess 4 with the green herring, it tends to fall to the wayside. So I think that's something that needs to be addressed in the Doom community, and how that can be addressed is kind of up for discussion, but I think that's the most critical aspect of project leadership's current problems in the Doom community. Now,
But, I mean, are you the only one who actually sees this as a problem, is what I'm thinking at the moment? Because, I mean, I myself brought it up, and I probably agree with you, but at the same time, you know, you're looking at how prolific projects are, and if something goes awry, you can just make another one, and then, you know, because they come out so quickly, it doesn't really matter if a project, I don't know, fails.
If I can respond to that, I think that, like, it's kind of unfair to the people who are contributing to these projects. I mean, like, on the one hand, yes, it's their decision to sign up for that without, like, vetting it and knowing if it's going to go anywhere, but then at the same time, like, just saying, oh, well, there will be another project is, like, well, you're just kind of, like, just totally disregarding all the time and work that people are putting into it, like, you know, just regardless of whether or not the project leadership and management are really, you know, going to make sure that their work is actually going to get out there in a project that people are actually going to care about.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, I've seen on a number of occasions certain mappers for a project, when they see that the project isn't sort of heading the direction they wanted it to go in, they'll say, okay, I have this map, not really happy with the project's going, I'll just pull it out and commit it to my own project or something. They can just sort of mix and match like that. which rather makes the whole affair seem more whimsical, and again, sort of makes it seem that the project management isn't something that is as important. I don't know.
I mean, like, for me personally, like, there was, I'm sure that a lot of you have heard about the ancient vaporware project Millennium that started, I think, like, in the late 90s, actually, as a...
Oh, yeah, I have now. There were some
levels in there where... Actually, that's probably not the best example, because that actually is something that took forever, but wasn't there something in community, in one of the community chess projects that you worked on, where somebody, I think P-Corp was like, well, this is taking too long, so I think I'm just going to pull my map out of it. Like, well, okay, like, I'm just not going to, like, see if anything's actually going on. I'm just going to, like, pull it out and make it take even longer to complete.
Yeah, that was in Community Chess 4, and P-Corp wasn't too pleased at how long the project was taking to come out, so he threatened to remove his map from the project.
Yeah.
Of course he didn't.
He had actually, years before, done the same with a couple of maps that he had worked on for Millennium in its early stages, and, like, the difference there was actually that since then, the maps had been, like, revised and reworked by SB and a bunch of other people and, like, barely resembled what they started with, so they were just like, okay, well, whatever, he can release them, but they're going to be different in here anyway.
If that ever comes out, I'm imagining it's going to be a giant hodgepodge of old and new.
Yeah, it's... There's definitely been some issues with that, just in the fact that, like, in my personal opinion, I think that there's a lot of really old content that was being held onto too stringently, and just combined with the fact that Loot, who was basically the project leader, was just kind of not really around all that often because he had a lot of stuff going on and other things like that. It just sort of became very stuck in the past, unfortunately.
Kind of like Duke Nukem Forever and its dated pop culture references? And its gameplay, like, when they had a physics puzzle right out of Half-Life?
You know, I mean, like, I don't want to badmouth him or anything like that. I mean, he's a good guy. He just hasn't really had the time to devote to the project, and just especially after SB's cancer and all of that, which was horrible because, you know, I mean...
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
But that goes back to what I was saying about project leadership, like, P-Corp threatened to pull his map from Community Chess 4. Recently we saw the Mnemonic Donut threatening to pull his map from TNT 2 because it was taking too long. And stuff like in TNT 2's development where Who admitted that, like, MIDI work had been, like, just not even thought about until the very end. Stuff like that kind of, like, builds up and delays a project and makes people less wanting to contribute to it or contribute quality work. You have people who see a project and they're like, well, I'm not going to contribute my map to this because it's just going to get lost in a sea of shit. All these things that, you know, we associate with bad community project tropes are more stemming from what I consider poor project management, lack of quality control, lack of clear objectives. These are all things that fall on the project leader. If, you know, if somebody makes a map for your project and you go, okay, well, that map really doesn't fit in with what I want the project to be, but I'm just going to include it in my project anyways, you're setting a standard for all the other maps that it's like, well, I guess, you know, that map didn't try, I guess my map doesn't need to try, and so on and so forth, to where I do think it definitely falls on the leader of the project to really rein that in, and I think that if more focus was given on quality project leadership in the Doom World community, that I think we'd see more community chests of community projects, where community chest isn't just the, like, well, you know, because the Green Herring put in the effort to make it, you know, play tested correctly, and there wasn't a whole bunch of, like, really terrible maps, even though there were some maps I didn't particularly care for in CC.
Oh, yes.
There was still a lot more quality control given to it, and that's mainly because the project leader put in the time and effort to go for it. And as a project leader, you know, it's like herding cats. You got to manage all these little things, and you know, I imagine a lot of people don't like doing that, especially in a hobby project. Like, you know, you're mapping as a hobby. You don't want to, you know, put in all this stuff that essentially makes it a job when you're, you know, doing your community project. And that's kind of detrimental because you have to have those elements in place. Like, think of Doom 2 the way it did would never have gotten done had Alfonso not been like, we need to finish this project, we need to finish this project.
You give me too much credit, sir. really, you do. You give me too much credit.
Same thing with, you know, the current state of Community Chess 4, looking back just in the Community Chess 4 thread at, like, the early stuff of it, it's really good that TGH came in and put in some, like, strict, okay, this is how we're going to do this, we're going to do that, that really, you know, bolstered the project and I think made it an overall higher quality end result solely because it was given that love and care that it needed on the management side.
Definitely. I mean, just the amount of work that he put into that, just... I mean, just even all the work that he put into it after the map submissions were all in, and I mean, like, I remember him, like, spending a lot of time just personally going through all the levels and making all sorts of corrections for little things and just making sure that it was all up to speed. And I mean, that's the kind of things that just most project leaders don't really take the time to do.
And I... detailed it all in a changelog that's available in the Community Chess 4 forum.
Changelogs, they're very important.
And that's, like, things that people don't really take into consideration when they're talking about, like, project leadership. Mm-hmm. And that's, as a project leader, you need to be able to do every single thing the people underneath you are doing yourself should they fall apart. Like, at any moment in a project, you need to be able to say, if you can't do it, I will. Like, if somebody said, I'm pulling my map, you have to be there willing to make a map in its place or have somebody immediately on backup just because you need to, like, show that it's all one well-oiled machine. And, you know, there is the diplomatic side of it. Like, if somebody says, I'm pulling my map, you immediately don't say, well, good, you're not needed. I'm just going to make a map myself. But you need to be like, well, what can we do to make you not pull your map? Like, with Back to Saturn X, Natural 20... has an E3 map that has this really bullshit platforming portion in it, and everybody hated it. It's absolutely bullshit. But Natural 20, the avant-garde, I change nothing mapper that he is like, well, this stays, or I'm pulling the map. And Essel negotiated with him like a project leader needs to do, and they came to a resolve.
I can't take credit for that, actually, because, actually, like, that was all on Zazer that came up with the compromise. I actually, like, I was the one who basically told them, like, well, this absolutely can't stay without this being changed. And that was when he decided, like, well, okay, then I'll put it in my project instead. I was like, oh, God, no, don't do that. And Zazer was able to work out a compromise with him, so I'm very thankful for that because it's an awesome map.
I like the way you use the word negotiate there. That was quite clever.
That's what you got to do.
But anyway, look, I mean, it also gives the contributors to the project a lot of confidence when they see a project leader who can get under it like that. I mean, I'd personally be certainly more willing to commit to a project if I knew someone who had that sort of charisma and gumption. At the same time, I think one of the chief problems to stick with Tonsman's observations that things haven't been. Project leadership isn't one of Doomworld's strong points, I guess, is that I don't think it's actually a role that's really recognized. When project ideas like these come about, it's more for the idea. It's not actually, you know, the person who comes up with the thread doesn't think to himself, I'm going to be taking on the project leadership role. He's just thinking, I'm pitching this idea to the community with the idea that they'll come on board and sort of take part. And then it's sort of, as it snowballs and gains, it suddenly becomes apparent that someone does need to take leadership, and the guy who made the thread perhaps... you know, he was just in it for the idea. Maybe he's not really the ideal candidate to do it, and he sort of more works in a kind of just a compiling role, basically, to put the whole thing together rather than just, yeah, smack everything to cohesive bunch so it can be released to Wood Games rather than really managing it, so to speak.
I think it's
a role that's not really recognized.
And I would agree that it's not recognized, and I would say that that's detrimental, that you need a manager if you're going to run a project. Like, just if any, unless it's, like, totally laissez-faire, this map pack is shit, it literally exists just because you make some maps. I mean, yeah, then you could have, like, no leadership whatsoever. But leadership needs to happen. Like, it's just one of those things that, like, just it has to happen. There's, like, no alternative. Somebody has to be in charge of something and be willing to say, okay, we're doing this, we're doing that. I mean, otherwise, you know, you can have a very, you know, democratic project leadership, but at the end of the day, somebody is in charge, and if they're not in charge, you're going to have a hard time making a quality product just because everybody's going to have different ideas, and somebody has to be there to, like, you know, merge them all together and say, well, no, this idea is wrong, this idea is right, we can do this, we can't do that, just so that the end product is cohesive and not just, you know, even in a community chest effort. You know, if I was like, I'm going to make a map for Zedum, somebody has to be there like, no, this is a boom project. You're not allowed to do that. So there has to be a leader who can say that, and, you know, just not, well, I'm making maps for Zedum and deal with it.
But it does seem to me, I mean, it's increasingly as though the most modern trend is for projects to be fueled exclusively by ideas and not really governed as a project. And that people are really okay with that because of how frequently they come out. So, I mean, I don't think there's a need in many people's eyes in the modern community for that sort of role as a project leader than there is simply to be able to facilitate the idea and get it out as quickly as possible.
Oh, no, no, I'm just saying it from my viewpoint. I know that there are plenty of people who are currently happy with the quantity over quality model.
Right,
I am not
okay.
one of them.
Right.
Frankly, I think it's a waste of time to just compile a bunch of crap, especially when... you know, you have interesting ideas. And here's my biggest problem with it, is these ideas are not realized, where when I'm playing this, I'm like, man, I want to make this project, but not shit. And that's a horrible attitude to have to take.
I'll admit, I kind of joined...
Never mincing words.
Yeah. I joined in with you on that one when we were sort of playing Monochrome. I was like, yeah, we want to go and make, you know, Licorice Factory or Candy Cane.
Oh, yeah, no,
like
absolutely.
Or Bumblebee Fields.
And I think that's, you know, this is just me personally, but I'd never want to release a product that somebody else would be like, yeah, you had a good idea here, too bad, you know, you just made it complete shit, and now I gotta go and fix it myself, thanks. You know, is there just, like, a certain pride in work that I personally could never allow myself to do that? Like, you know, I like making things, alright? I'm a craftsman, and as such, you know, when I make something... I'd like to be able to say, this is good, I like this, you know, even if I'm not, like, 100% happy with it, like I am with 90% of anything I ever make, I'll still be like, well, you know, at least, you know, this is a quality product. I acknowledge that it has these certain qualities that people will enjoy in it, and, you know, even though it's not everything I could have hoped for, I, you know, am willing to release this. And... a lot of, like, community projects, you're like, no, I'm not releasing that. That's, like, God, what the fuck is this? No, get it away. And I think that problem is pretty prevalent in the Doom community, that we churn out all these ideas, but nobody ever thinks, okay, but let's make it good. Like, yeah, it's a good idea, but the idea has to be executed properly. I mean, I haven't seen really anybody who's happy with how Monochrome turned out. I think it's a lot of people who are like, yeah, this is a good idea.
Right, but I also haven't seen any evidence to suggest that that sort of thing wouldn't happen again.
Yeah, I could see people just remaking the project a million times, but again, it's what's the purpose if you're just not going to do it well each time?
Right, I mean, that's just like insanity, expecting like different results from doing the same thing over and over again.
I think that's the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like, on IRC, one thing Sele is mentioning and suggesting that we bring up is what is probably best referred to as hugboxing.
Oh, what's that term mean?
Which, Tarnsman might be able to say it more bluntly than I.
It basically means where you're like, no, no, don't fix that, it's perfect, don't listen to the haters, your map is awesome, yeah, go, you go, you're awesome, dude, you don't need to fix shit. And basically it's the, it's become more prevalent in modern times, whereas more exposure is given due to the easy making process of whatever. We see it on YouTube with, like, fan-made shit. Just basically, as technology has allowed for more people to produce things at a faster rate, people have become desensitized towards, like, I can't have criticism. No, this is mine. I'm a special snowflake, and it's perfect. And then they surround themselves with people who just basically agree with that, and so criticism doesn't really get expressed because of the internet's ability to communicate with a wide variety of people. Like, back in the day, if I made, like, a sculpture, and I went to all the people in my neighborhood, and they're like, yeah, that's crap, and there was one guy who's like, no, 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 that's good. I wouldn't be able to find more people like that one guy, because they'd be spread Tazum. Out across so much space.
Tazum, this is sounding increasingly like one of your business calls. So, rein it in.
Anyways, what I'm saying is basically because of how the community input process has changed due to the fact that you can get so many different people in, it basically deflects criticism, because the second you get criticism, you can basically be like, well, that person's just an elitist prick. I'm going to go over here and hang out with people who like my stuff. And, I mean, there is an advantage to, you know, like, you want to be around people who positively react to your stuff. I mean, there's just a difference between acknowledging, like, well, that person's not the target market. Like, I will say Slaughter Map shit, but I'm not going to say that people who make Slaughter Maps should cater specifically to people who don't like Slaughter Maps. Like, that's an example where I'm not the target market, and so I should just not be the person whose, you know, criticism is really thought that much about. I mean, if you want to make a Slaughter Map like Alfonso does, where you're going to be like, okay, well, I want to cater this to people who don't like Slaughter Maps, then yeah, you're going to focus on them. And that's kind of where project leadership comes back into this, in that it's the project leader's purpose to kind of find people who are going to bring in the criticisms from the group you're targeting. So, like, if you're like, I'm going to make a Doom Wad for, like, everybody, you want to make sure you get, like, the person who likes this, and the person who likes that, and the person who likes that, and make sure you have this wide variety of people to, you know, give feedback. Because as the leader, you're in charge of everything, but you're only as good as the people beneath you. Just like they're only as capable as you are a leader. It's, you know, a two-way street. And that's one thing that's really not focused enough on. You see a lot of, like, Naziist, I'm, like, in charge of this project, fuck you, this is how we're doing it, on the opposite end of the, I'm just not going to lead anything. And there's never really that good inner balance. And so, like, you get projects like Knee Deep in Z-Doom, where people are like, hey, this is not going to be the best. And everybody involved in the project's like, should we do something about this? And the leadership at top's like, no, 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 don't listen to them. These are people we listen to, so just keep doing what you're doing. And so that's where a top-down hug-boxing problem can occur. It's a problem at all levels, but it becomes a real big problem when the leadership refuses to, like, acknowledge any criticism besides what they want to hear.
I guess that that sort of approach, hug-boxing, is going to be more prevalent in a project where there's a sort of unified goal to it, rather than something like a community chess, remember, for example, where it's all individual efforts.
Yeah.
In TGH, in Community Chess 4, for example, was there many people like making concessions to criticism, or were there those who sort of stood their ground and weren't really willing to change things? Because I know there was a lot of quality control that goes into that project.
The funny thing is that at the start of the Community Chess 4 project, there wasn't really any quality control, because at that time, when it started, I was leading the project with somebody else, who went by the name of Death Destiny.
Oh, yeah.
With a dash in the middle. Mm-hmm. And he, I can pull up the thread where he, I called for co-leaders.
We're going to have a bit of the old quotes unquote, I think.
Quote unquote, yeah. Excellent.
Okay, so when I announced that I was going to be the leader of the Community Chess 4 project,
right,
I put out a call for people to lead the project alongside me. And one of them was this guy named Death Destiny, who was previously part of a project called Dark Resolution 2008,
oh,
which is actually led by a guy named I forgot his name, but it's called a blood skull. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Didn't Death Destiny also co-run for a time being before, I'm guessing, Community Chest 4 and other stuff blew up on him? Didn't he also co-run Claustrophobia?
Claustrophobia.
Yes, and there was quite the drama with that. Like, I think, like, basically everybody who was stuck co-leading projects with that guy would have some stories to tell.
Okay. So, yeah, it's back to TGH. So, he was the co-leader of Community Chest 4.
Actually, let me explain the Dark Resolution 2008 thing first. So, he was a guy who contributed two maps to Dark Resolution 2008, and he decided to be the compiler for the project. It was supposed to be a 16-level project, but in the middle of compiling the project, he decided to turn it into 11 maps instead, and rearrange the maps, and then release the project without consulting with Blood Skull the entire time. So when I took him on as a vice leader, I figured he learned his lesson and I gave him a second chance.
I didn't know people learned lessons on the internet.
In Dark Resolution, he just, like, cut the maps and was like, nope, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. One of them got released in the standalone and ID games, and there was a bug in it that there was a missing key that made it impossible to complete the map on anything other than multiplayer. I think it was by Hardcore Gamer. I forget the name of the map, but I can look it up while I talk about it. So, I figured that Death Destiny had learned his lesson from the controversy regarding Dark Resolution 2008, so I gave him a second chance. So, of course, he declared himself co-leader, of course. And, of course, the very first thing he did was to start a preliminary sign-up thread without consulting with me.
Excellent.
Yep, and so then CC4 ended up starting, like, how far further in advance than it was supposed to? Yeah.
A year earlier than intended. So I expressed dissent with this, and I said, before you start this thread, you could have, asked me first in the future. Please discuss anything you're going to do or decide upon with me before you do it. And I just pulled up a private message that he wrote in response to me, which says, so what's the big deal here with asking who would be interested in the CC4? I only explain things that have been decided already, so I don't see what the issue is. If I were going to present any rules that only we discussed or work out some discrepancy that comes out later, of course I would talk to you about it. However, it makes it hard to be a coordinator if I'm not allowed to coordinate anything. Last I checked, we both voiced interest in leading CC4, so that makes us co-leaders.
Uh-huh.
The idea here is that we work together to represent the entire team in this project. I'm not going to do anything that contradicts what you or the community have in mind, and you should do the same. We should both be able to do our jobs unhindered, which means you focus on compiling the WAD and addressing rules-related issues, while I do what I said I would, which is making certain all tasks are assigned and keeping everyone posted on CC4's progress. I hope you're still willing to work as a team like in CC3 and not try to go solo. _S. Seriously, I stepped up to be a leader to make your life easier, so I figure you can at least trust me a little. I trust you enough so that when you post the preliminary rules, I won't go off on you about how we need to discuss them beforehand.
End quote.
No, that definitely speaks volumes to, you know, what I was getting back to, people, you know, just arbitrarily deciding certain things and then not being willing to compromise outside of that, which ties back into hug boxing. So all those are, you know, detrimental things that I still think affect the community. There is a lot of, you know, I'm going to deflect criticism, and there is a lot of, I want to do my thing, and I'm going to, you know, take charge. And thankfully, with Community Chest 4, TGH was unwilling to essentially allow a coup and kept control of the project, so we got a good end result. But no, there definitely is a lot of that. And then there's also times in the community where certain people just don't leave their project, and then, like, people just take over for them. I kind of think, isn't that what happened with Doom the way it did? Is Hellbent just, like, started it, and then,
well,
like...
There's an... Well, he never exactly left. I mean, the reason he's not really involved, even though it's a different project in Doom 2 the way it did, is because he doesn't like Doom 2 as much. So that's fair enough, I guess. The case with that one is, I think it comes back to what I was saying earlier about him, about someone being really, really interested in an idea, and then just sort of just wanting to put it to the community that this is something that could be, you know, could become a great community project. I'm not saying that he wasn't really, strictly speaking, interested in being the project leader, but that project did get out of hand. I mean, it's a massive thing. You had more than 100. In that sort of instance, project leadership is absolutely key. And that reminds me, I mean, we didn't actually have a project leader for that project. It was split, basically, between a team. There wasn't one, strictly speaking, one person. In fact,
yeah,
I think that sort of...
That pretty much just came down to, like, everybody who was most active on IRC and was most willing to help out and get things done had a say in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you at least had, like, a leadership structure. Like, these people were in charge, and then...
Right.
Again, that goes back to...
There was agreed mode of map selection. Yeah. That was pretty much all governed,
That goes back to the critical aspect of project leadership that needs to exist. That's a prime example. Had that project had no leadership, it would have just been another monochrome. It would have been a, this isn't really it. I mean, you had the people who were like, blah, that's it. That's an id map, right, guys? And, you know, all these things, e-corps, border maps, stuff like that, that needed to get corrected and required project leadership to do so. Like, that's a prime example of a project that simply needed leadership.
In what instances do you think it might be better to have co-leadership as opposed to just one? I mean, I guess an obvious example would be if the project's just massive. But, I mean, you can have people doing different roles. I mean, in your experience, is it something like Baxter and Nexessel? I mean, it's not just you, strictly speaking, is it? The leadership role?
I mean...
I'm saying so.
No, it's not entirely me, because, I mean, like, obviously in some other major leadership roles, there's Zazer, who's been doing a lot of, like, he did the compiling and a lot of Episode 2 related stuff. There's Tarnsman, who's really been taking the helm with, like, sequencing the third episode and figuring out all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, like, plus just all the testers who have had a lot of say in some things. And
see, this is, when you talk about co-leadership, it's not necessarily co-leadership in that, like, back to Saturn X, Essel was in charge. But then there's people who handle things because they're like, hey, asshole, I'm going to do this. And then it's like his prerogative to say, yeah, you should do that because it'll turn out well. And that's the mark of a good leader. A good leader assigns tasks to people. You know, you lead by example, and you always have to be willing to do everything yourself. But you also have to, you know, that's the backup. For if everything falls through, I can do this. But when everything's running as a well-oiled machine, a good leader would be assigning, like, okay, you're going to take care of this. You're going to do this. Like, I have Sele as my alignment checker. I have Dew as my playtesting. I have, you know, Hawkwind is going to check for all these technical bugs. You know, that thing's where everybody has their own role. You know, Essel's still the leader, but he's farmed out all these different ideas and goals to other people so that the project can run more smoothly and these things can get checked and handled. And then when they've all done their jobs, other people go back and check their work. And that's how a project would run in a smoothly oiled machine. Now, with community projects nowadays...
No, I mean, you were on a roll there. Go for it.
Well, I was going to say, with community projects nowadays, excluding Community Chest 4, where the green herring took, like, at least a couple months from when everybody else would just shoved it out the door to do final checkups. I believe you actually went through after everything was done and did even more final touch-ups, right, TGH?
Yeah. So I did a public playtest, and then I went over every map to fix every bug that every playtester reported.
See, and that's good project leadership right there, because it's acknowledging when something's not ready to ship, all right?
Yeah.
And, like, Doom projects, we're not a AAA game company. We don't have a profit margin we need to worry about. We're not paying people, all right? If something's not ready...
Wait. You're not paying people?
I'm not paying people. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I got slave labor with that.
Anyways, so if something's not ready, you can just delay it. And that doesn't happen, really, with community projects. We talk about there's just going to be another one, so shove it out the door. And that leads to a lot of bad problems that really could be alleviated if just, you know, hey, this is, you know, we're going to shove this out the door, but we're not. We're going to do a public beta, and then we're going to, you know, take, you know, 4 months on that public beta just to make sure everything works. And if there's really critical issues, like, we're going to resolve it. Like, if I was leading Monarch, I'd be like, well, Jaws and Spaces maps would have been fixed long before it was ever released. But I would have been like, hey, maybe we should go back and fix all those maps. And I think Jaws and Space actually has been posting updates to all those maps, which is kind of pointless because it's already on id Games.
In my case, it was 4 weeks, and which included playtesting sessions on Zdaemon, and every... at the very instant someone posts a bug in the thread or points it out in the Zdaemon session, I would go right back into the wild and fix it immediately.
Yeah, that's what's needed in a lot of projects, and that's really not what's happened. Like, Back to Saturn X E1 is still not out, and it's kind of a good thing that it's out because we're still finding things that are wrong with it. And there's nothing wrong with
like
it.
The
just
the fact that it sucks.
Yeah, like the fact that it sucks.
Most critical bug.
The map set itself is a bug that needs to be removed.
It's just fatally flawed.
But, you know, and there's no harm in letting it sit for a little while things get corrected. Now, there is stagnation. There is, like, we're waiting on one thing. And, you know, there's really no problem in waiting on it, but it kind of sucks. Don't do the way it did. But with that, you know...
Okay.
With that, it's still, you know, there's no harm in waiting for it to be done. You know, rushing it, you know, you can get on somebody's case, like, hey, have you finished your map? Hey, have you finished your map? That's fine. But there's not, like, make your map, and you're Sandy Peterson. You have to have it done in 30 minutes. You know, that's just going to create bad maps.
Incidentally, when TJ had you speaking there again, it occurred to me that clearly you like the role of being a project leader. And it comes back to what I was saying previously about people sort of wanting to suggest ideas but not really themselves considering or even acknowledging the role of a project leader, leadership when they create the thread. So I'm thinking perhaps, you know, it might even be a good idea to sort of offer your services as a project leader. I'm not saying you specifically, but I mean, it doesn't seem to me like a bad idea that if I had an idea in mind that I wanted to make a thread about it, I would be in communication with somebody else previously who was perhaps interested in assisting in the task of actually making the most out of that project before I even make the thread for it, for example.
I would agree with that. That yeah.
Or at the very least, advocating for a proper project leader when you create the thread.
Yeah, the Doom community could use some good project leaders in it, and I think that it currently kind of lacks those. And people who would be willing to step up and be like, okay, well, we got this idea, and... I'm going to acknowledge.
It's not as though there's a massively different formula for every project, such that, you know, a person who's been very successful in the role of project leading something else wouldn't do an equally good job with the next project that comes along, right?
Oh, no, no.
They do differ, of course. I mean,
they do differ, but, like, you know, like, going into real life, like, if somebody asked me to project lead, like, a film or something... I'd probably be able to do it. I'd have to, like, look into, like, okay, what do I need to do for this and this and this and this? You know, like, how do I act as the producer on this? But, you know, if it's just like, hey, do this thing that you've already done a million times.
How many dicks do I have to suck?
Yeah, how many dicks? If it's like, do this thing you've already done a million times, I know, like, what goes into it. I'm going to know, like, you know, okay, the submittal packages are going to need to be in on this date. We're going to have roughly this time between approved shop drawings and when it's actually going to get done. I'm going to have to add in this time for, like, field measures. It's like you do it long enough, you know, like, okay, I can expect this to happen then and this to happen then and this to happen then. And if I need to make sure this happens and this happens and this happens, I need to PM this person. I need to not sit on it for 6 months and be like, oh, by the way, I'm sending you this PM now. Just thought I'd let you know. That's you know, there's a lot of time management that goes into project leadership that just it's not focused on enough, and it does really turn into a second job. It's why I really don't want a project lead in Doom because I do it 12 hours a day. I don't want to fucking come home and be like, well, now I got to lead this project. But no, there's definitely, like, a routine that you can easily get into to where, like, I'm assuming when CC5 comes around, TGH is going to have a lot easier time because he's going to know this is going to happen, 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 I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that.
Indeed.
Yeah. And
there are a whole lot of things that I've been planning to do for CC5 in order to try to prevent the problems that I ran into with Community Just 4.
Like, smaller maps, for example. Just to make it easier on yourself.
Well, Yeah. And that's where a project leader come in and say, okay, these are our hard goals. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do that. And like he talks about problems, that's another thing with having repeat project managers is that every time you lead a project for the first time, you're going to have tons of fuck-ups. Tons of fuck-ups, okay?
Indeed.
My first year of project management... Yes, Alfonso.
What?
Don't.
Where?
Don't.
Where? Where are you?
Everywhere. Anyways, my first year of project management in real life was basically just going, well, how do I prevent that from happening next time? Just because, like, you slowly learn, like, okay, this is going to happen, and then just, like, randomly, even though it shouldn't happen in a perfect world, but life isn't perfect, this is going to happen. And so that's where you're going to have, like, I'm going to pull my map contingencies, map bloat contingencies, not letting my megawad become 90 maps long contingencies, things that that will probably happen.
Not planning for my map set to become 90 maps long as well is also a pretty good one, looking at you, yeah. Hatchpack.
Well, I was mainly referring to Back to Saturn X.
I know. Oh, well, that as well. Oh, yeah.
Back to Saturn X is 87 maps.
Need we reiterate again that it is a terrible map set, and you shouldn't.
It is. Uh-huh. But at least with Back to Saturn X, this wasn't a case of, like, I'm just going to let it bloat. This was a case of, like, we have too many maps, and we're just going to expand it. See, that's where the project leader has to make a critical decision. With something like HPAC, where it's not out because Tormentor wants a million maps, that's where it's like, okay, we need to cut. And then if I have a bunch of good maps, then it's like, okay, how do I work around including everything I want to include? And Essel's like, fuck it, we're releasing 3 megawads. That works. Things like HPAC, where it's going to be 6 episodes with 11 maps each, it's like, okay.
God.
Do you have 6 episodes and 11 maps for each episode? Yes? Go ahead. Release it. That's fine. If you're happy with the quality of all the maps in that, you know, 66 maps, are you happy with that? Yes, release it. That's fine.
Or more importantly, you know, is there sustained interest that you could reach that target within a reasonable amount of time? Or am I going to have to be here for either A, 5 years plus, B, I could, you know, do the sensible thing and cut it back to 3 episodes. Incidentally, I think they are actually nearing the target, but, you know, is it going to wind up the better for it?
Again, and that's when... If you reach your target goal, you say, we're going to make 66 maps because we can. All right, you have your 66 maps. Now, that's been accomplished. Step 2, kill your darlings. Determine which maps, if any, need to go. Because across 66 maps, very rarely are you going to find 66 maps of top quality. There have been maps that have been cut from Back to Saturn X, and that's 87. So I guarantee that HPAC has some maps that probably could be cut. And that's one area where a lot of people are unwilling to compromise. They will not cut when they need to cut. If you're bloating your map set with stuff that's basically filler, just get rid of it. I mean, like ZPAC could have really stood to be cut. BTST really could have stood to be cut down. Like, just everything before the Apocalypse Struck.
Well,
that
is one guy, though.
But again, if I made something across 10 years, and I went and looked at my stuff that I made 10 years ago, I'd probably cut it, because I'd be like...
You made Doom 2 Redux, and then 4 months later, you were wanting to cut the entire goddamn thing.
Yes.
See? Exactly. Yeah.
Good project leadership.
I mean, like... Speaking of that, I mean, like, with Vapor Demo, I mean, like, that was... Like, it was originally going to be some maps that I had started on in, like, around 2007 or so, maybe 2006, and, like, I was thinking, like, okay, well, that project sort of fell apart, so I'm just going to turn this into something smaller and call it Vaporware. Then I just realized, like, okay, you know what, I don't actually like these maps all that much. This could be better, so I just totally tossed them out and started on something new based on them.
You did call it demo, though. I guess was that like with the idea that you would go on to create further? Reinvigorate the original idea, sort of thing.
No. I mean, like, there were other maps in development for Vaporware, but just it was all really stagnating, and so I just figured, like, okay, I'm just going to get this one map done to at least have something released.
But Tansman, do you think there's actually a fear among the project leaders? If they can be acknowledged as such, to actually axe maps?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. See, people don't want to be that guy.
even for me personally, like, with Back to Saturn X, I mean, like, there have been cases where, like, you know, just it's never, like, fun to have to tell somebody, you know, that their work is not going to be making it into the project.
Right.
But it's critical. It's absolutely critical. It's,
yeah.
I mean,
like, I don't think anybody ever wants to have to do that.
No. I don't think there's anybody who, like, gets off on it, like, yeah, I'm going to tell that guy's mess. I mean, I don't Essel gets off on it, but that's because he's an evil.
No, it's a lie. It's not true.
Oh, Essel's like, yeah, I'm going to cut this guy's map. It's going to feel so good. But no.
It's quite aggressive.
There are two brands.
Mike uses tears to make a new set of textures.
Yes.
There were tons of maps cut from Community Chest 4, weren't there? In fact, the Green Herring has a funny story about a guy who came back and was like, why isn't my map in this?
There was a level called Glaber Bay 6 that was going to be in Map 16 that was accepted back when I had Def Destiny as vice leader, and at the stage where any map whatsoever would be accepted regardless of quality. And Glaber Bay 6 was kept in the project for a long while, but when I took the effort to put quality control into the project, I played the map again and then had discussion with other people in the project as to whether it should be removed and replaced with another map because it was absolutely terrible.
It was pretty bad. And, again, you know, nobody wants to be like, I'm going to cut this map and this guy's going to just, like, cry and I'm going to, like, be awesome and I'm going to love it and I'm going to be this elitist prick. Nobody wants to do that, but it's a critical, necessary aspect of project leadership that needs to happen.
Were you saying that someone like Esselforium gave you the map die cut?
I haven't actually ever played it. I've just seen the thread and the pictures in it, which, like, that was enough for me.
Linked it to us is what happened. But, it is a critical role, and people are going to react to it one of two ways, and this is kind of, like, critical part of being a project leader. People are going to naturally be upset, well, I don't like that, you know, you cut this, what the heck's going on? And then it's your role to facilitate, you know, well, this is why we cut it, you know. This is where you could improve. We'd be really happy to have you back if you can improve, you know, blah, 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 blah. You don't ever want to be like, well, fuck you, just don't ever bother anymore, go die in a corner. And, you know, then at that stage, that's going to branch into two parts. You're going to get the people who like Marchaic or Purist, the newbie mappers who are very willing to, you know, improve and have made excellent strides, in my opinion. They start producing some pretty good stuff because they're willing, like, okay, what do I need to do to improve? And then you have the other people who are just going to, like, stay in a rut and never change and just be like that guy who's banned from ever participating in 32.
The only person ever to be banned from 32 and 24.
I would consider Imploy, personally.
Imploy.
But, you know, it is absolutely critical that you take the reins and be prepared to axe maps. Because, as was the case with Glaber Base, I mean, he left. It's like he's treating the project as a sort of drop-off station. He can just dump the map there and then scatter off and then just expect it to sort of be working its way to the project.
There were a bunch of people like that in the project who signed up saying, being all excited about contributing to the project, and then they started a forum thread where they say, here are screenshots of my map, and they show screenshots of my map, and then they utterly disappear from the planet Earth, never to be seen again. There were a lot of people like that who I had to remove from the project because they didn't say anything whatsoever about their maps after that. And for that matter, I hadn't informed the author of Glaber Bay 6 about his level being removed because he had completely disappeared from the forums by the time that decision came.
Right.
And
that's no excuse. Like, rain or sleet or snow, you have to let Glaber know that Glaber Base 6 is not going to be joining the ranks of Glaber Bases 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I thought he just didn't care about anymore.
Well, Glaber Abyss 1 through 5, they were good maps. Whatever happened to the... I mean, really, I mean, he really went downhill after that. Crashed and burned, I dare say.
Well, you know...
Yeah, I mean, you take the right approach in Axiom. They're on the spot. I mean, you're not come back. I mean, there's no point holding out for him. You know, that many other people will be more interested in vouching for that spot that he has, so... And who could also, incidentally, create better maps. So, yeah, Axiom, get rid of it.
No, and that's a very important decision that needed to be made, and it was the correct decision. And it's one of those things that, you know, go back to killing the darlings, but at the same time, people still also have to be willing to, whatchamacallit, they have to be willing to make concessions. Like, you know, maybe you don't 100% like something, but everybody else likes it. In which case, it's like, okay, well, how do I work around this? I mean... Not everybody's going to always be happy with the product. You're always going to have somebody who's like, I don't like this, and then it's like, okay, well, you know. So if maybe there were a bunch of people who were like, no, you can't ask Glaber Base. You know, Glaber Base is the fucking heart and soul of this project. We have
it's
to, you
true.
Know.
You know, it's just, it was just never the same with that Glaber Base around.
Oh, man.
Genuine emotion here on Tango TV.
And then there's also the opposite end of that, where you get your Joe Islas or Ilias that will come in and be like, yeah, I'm going to fix this. And then you're like, okay, fix this map. And then they just don't. And it turns out to be, oh, God.
Well, credit to the guy. I mean, he does try, does he not? I mean, I think he reworked his attempt at a map 20 about 5 times before it was funny. You know, he didn't help himself by having a sort of... an attitude, so to speak, about the whole process. I guess it made it easier for the leaders there to kind of say, not so much, scoot on out, and then have it, I think it was Moldy was who attempted a gotcha replacement. Yeah.
Well, Moldy attempted to fix his map, at which point...
oh, right, yeah.
That just didn't happen. And Joe Ilya came back and, like, edited Moldy's fix and made it more broken.
For some reason, that reminds me of Paul Korfiatis' community project, where there was a map that was not broken in previous releases
of the
project, where I think it was map 38 or something, where it was not broken, but it had an unclosed sector that didn't affect anything. So he went in and fixed the closed sector, and in the process, he deleted an entire sector from the map, making the level completely unwinnable without cheating, without even noticing that he did so.
Ah, excellent. That brings me to back to what we were talking about. We were talking about co-leadership. Acknowledging when you can't and getting somebody else to do it for you, which I think is an aspect that gets ignored a lot of times, and just in the community or internet as a whole, people want to be like, no, I can handle this. People are very unwilling to be like, okay.
Incidentally, I don't think that's that bigger problem in the Doom community, because many people don't really take. Either that confident or that willing to sort of take up, as we discussed, the project leadership role, that could be a massive problem. Since we're talking about, you know, I did mention earlier how there were only so many different ways that a project could be managed in the Doom community, because, you know, if you can do one, then you could be hired to do another, for example. But then, because of, you know, as you mentioned, it's not as though you're making a AAA game or something like that, there's strictly speaking, isn't any deadline. There are some projects which, as a project manager, you must acknowledge off the base that it would take a heck of a long time before it gets completed. And an example that I can think of right now is the Secret Santa mapping project, which I think from the get-go you sort of anticipate to take at least 4 or 5 years to actually complete itself. Well, certainly you'd get that impression now. And I guess there isn't, I would think, any pressure to sort of push it. You could quite happily say, okay, let's it take that amount of time. Let's not try to, you know, add fuel to it, sort of speed up the process, although a little bit faster would be nice, sort of thing. It's okay to pace yourself over that sort of length of time, do you think?
No, that's exactly what I said back a while back, is that, yeah, one of the best aspects of project leadership is the ability to force the project to slow down and take the time it needs.
Okay.
There's a difference between something taking forever to get out because it's taking forever to get out, in which case the project leader needs to be like, hey, come on, chop, chop, people, let's, you know, progress.
Yeah, pronto tonto.
Pronto tonto, and, like, if the project stalled, like, Doom 2 the way it did, stalled. That's it stalling. But then there's a project just,
well,
you know...
Plus because I was shit.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
but,
don't acknowledge it.
Yeah, you needed the Tarn's blood, but,
I did a bunch of... I tried to do that a bunch of times with Community Chest 4, but it didn't take until somebody else started a map drive near the end of the project.
Map drive. See, and those are things that, like, if a map project stalls, you know, you need to have somebody, either as the leader or somebody who you can contact and be like, yo, dude, you can make 500 maps in 5 seconds, go make a bunch of maps, and show people, hey, if they don't want to contribute, this is still going to get done.
What hour are we going to be constant problem?
Well, that's what happened with Doom 2 the way it did. We would never have Bedlam. Or the Bloodwash, or Essel's last three maps, and
the
it would
have been better off for it.
It would have, it actually. But you know, that's one aspect of a project taking 5 years. And then there's the like Secret Santa, or Back to Saturn X, or Knee Deep in Z-Doom, or things that are not Knee Deep in Z-Doom. The Shores of Z-Doom projects where you hear like, oh, this is going to be out in 5 years. It's like, well. Duh, it's going to take a while. You know, all this shit that's going into it, it's not going to just magically happen in 5 minutes. I don't expect everybody to just be like, I'm making a map, but I'm done in a week. Hey, guys. And well, so, no, I would agree.
I mean, that's kind of what you do.
Oh, yeah, that is what I do. But at the same time, I'm not going to be like, God damn it, why the fuck isn't this done in 5 days? You know, after like a month of somebody working on it, and be like, hey, what's going on with that dude? It's been like a month, you know. I'm going to give you crap for it, but I'm not, like, expecting, I don't know, Zazer to shit out a map in 5 minutes. But, no, and that's where, like, as the project...
Zazer, chop chop. We need a map, Zazer. 5 minutes.
Yeah, chop chop. Finish some stuff up, Zazer. We're waiting on you, Slowpoke. But no, and the project leader needs to make that distinction, that this is going to take a while. Hold your horses. I don't want to see any, like, you're not done, I'm pulling my map, because...
Please make that noise again.
I can't make it. No, and, you know, that's really at the beginning of the project. If it's clear this is going to be a long-haul project, I think you can avoid a lot of, like, I'm going to pull my maps, because that frustration comes from people who think the project has stalled and it's just not going to get done.
Do you think there's a way you can sort of nurture an ability to be better at a project leadership by way of mapping? Because there are quite a few authors out there who are mapped pretty much exclusively for community projects, so I guess you can get yourself into a sort of a mode of dropping off maps of projects and then waiting for the next one to crop up. You can do the same, rather than those who sort of commit themselves to extensive personal projects that require quite a lot of self-management, I guess.
Yeah, I would say that you can, like, again, you gotta lead by example, so if, like, it's very hard to lead a project when you yourself can't map. Like, I mean, it can be done. You don't necessarily need to be like, somebody like, I don't know.
You need to do a lot of convincing there.
Yeah. One of the Z-Doom people who exclusively, like, does scripting or shit. They could lead a project because they're doing, like, one aspect. It's just that people inherently, if, like, I showed up and was like, hey, guys, make this project, and this is what you guys need to do, go. We see a million of these threads, and... nothing ever happens because nobody wants to be like, yeah, sure, dude, I'll make this project for you. That sounds good. But if I showed up and I'm like, yo, I'm making this project. I've already done 5 maps. This is what's expected. Do you want to contribute? A lot of people are going to be like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. You always need like a demonstration almost. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of one of those things like you have to know what your field is. Like just in real life, like you need to know what you're like. Profession is in order to be really proficient at it. Like, I couldn't fucking go into like chemistry and be like, yeah, guys, I'm gonna run this chemistry lab because I sure know, like, you know, but if somebody's like, hey, do you want to like manage a company that makes pallet rack? I could do that because I know the components. I know what the fuck is going on there. You know, I could be like, okay, here's like my knowledge. I'd walk in and the employees would be like, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about versus like, hey, Essel, you're in charge of this company. And they'd be like, yo, what's the pin connection on this load beam and how much is the step on it? And Essel
would be like, and I would be like, hey, Tarnsman, I hope you enjoyed like handing me your money for this because I'm like running off to Mexico.
Yeah, pretty much. You know? so
do they have clouds in Mexico?
I think.
They're about
they're very
to.
Rare, though. I mean, they're very rare, though.
A terrible flood.
Yeah, they're like an elusive cloud. You see them about as much as you see chupacabras. But no, so there definitely does need to be some proficiency, and that the more you map, I think the more you can project lead, because you know, like, well, this is what's going into this, and this is what still needs to happen, like, to where you're not, I don't know, 90% done with the project, and, hey, we don't have any middies. Oh. Whoops! Or we're 90% done with the project, and we're just now getting playtesting feedback, and we're going to release it in a week before we can implement any of it. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about exclusively in the playtesting episode, people not implementing playtesting simply because they're like, well, there's no time to do it. That's a key example of project leadership needing to be like, well, we got a lot this time to playtest, guys, or this just isn't going to happen.
I guess I keep coming back to this point, like I did the very start of the discussion, talking about the sort of the modern trends in community projects and the like, and how that has an impact on the significance of the role of the project leader. I'm thinking maybe, you know, there's an argument for those who say that because of the frequency with which these sort of projects keep on coming about, you can sort of rely. There's almost like a mold. It's just like pressing the on switch on the machine, and then it sort of builds the map set for you. So, I mean, perhaps it's an argument to say that you don't need a project leadership role in some instances. Unless, I mean, would you consider, for example, the 100 Lines project to be a successful project? It's extremely prolific.
No, there's a difference between...
There's some very interesting maps in
there. I mean, like, I think that 100 Lines succeeds as, like, an interesting, like, experiment and something to participate in.
Yeah,
but...
Yeah.
As far as, like, if you're just judging a project as, like, something for just Joe Random Guy to download off of id Games because it looks interesting and just play through it, then no, because, I mean, like, just it doesn't really have that kind of quality control and testing and anything like that.
Right,
really.
But I mean...
It's just, like, here's a bunch of maps with 100 lines in them, and some of them might be decent.
But perhaps you would be more inclined to regard it as a successful project if it was looked at as being, as I'm sure as it was intended to be, simply a showboat for ideas.
I would consider it a successful experiment. I wouldn't consider it a project.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, and in fairness, I think that there is a place for that sort of thing. I mean, like, the original 10 Sectors competition from, like, I don't know, sometime around 2000 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just that, they pretty much just structured it with, like, they judged the maps and put the ones that they considered the best in the early slots and then just, like, went onwards from there. And
yeah, it was held in 2000.
Like,
right.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, like, that, it's not intended to be a megawatt for somebody to sit through all of. It's just, like, here's, you know, like, a capsule of what the community came up with this, we put what we think are the best ones up front, and there you go. So, I mean, like, I guess it sort of holds up in the same way as that, but just at the same time, though, there's just been a lot of projects, seemingly, just community things where the goal is just to get it out as quickly as possible and just, like, get contributions from whoever and, like, regardless of whether or not they're any good, we're just going to stick them in there, and that's that.
Right. I imagine
and
the
it just doesn't really make for playable megawatts.
Right. Like, I imagine if the 10 Sectors thing was done today, then it would wind up very similar to the 100 Lines project, in that no maps would be axed. You would simply get... I mean, the other...
I think that's
lines,
how it was with 10 Sector, actually.
Well, they narrowed it down to 32, didn't they?
I think they might have had, like, a second one of them. I forget.
Did they? Oh.
There was a second WAD, yeah, but it had a whole WAD of the next best entries that they had.
Oh, right, and that they clearly weren't placed on equal billing, as the case is with 100 Lines, because 100 Lines is just, we'll keep making more megawatts until it runs out, until people lose interest, sort of thing.
Until the,
if I remember correctly, the top three maps of the 10 Sectors competition, including the winner, were the last three maps. Map 30 was the winner.
Yeah. Oh, the reverse.
Really? Oh, okay. Okay, well, I had it completely backwards then, my mistake.
But I guess my initial argument to say that, you know, one might be able to consider it a successfully managed project if the intention was merely for it to be a showboat for ideas, it sort of turned on its head when you realize that, you know, still restricting it, cutting maps and restricting it down to 32, and so that you had 32 maps or less that best represented those ideas. Because there are clearly some, I mean, I'm not going to name names, well, I really, really want to. there are clearly some maps in the 100 Lines project that don't do justice to the idea very well. And, you know, if you wanted the project to be a successful showcase of ideas, you need to axe them in order to, you know, to better ignite the imagination of those who play it, for example. Because, I mean, that's why you do so. The initial idea for 100 Lines was not to have a map set at all, but rather a sort of D-Zone style setup where it was just individual files. For some reason, was more attractive a prospect. Like, because it's almost like you're sort of dressing it up as a sort of mock map set, even though that's really not what it is, because there's no cohesion, they're not supposed to be played continuously, they're really odd. I mean, it is more convenient, obviously. But in my mind, as soon as you sort of move towards that sort of... I guess we're moving away from project management and just start talking about community makers. Yeah. But.
Well, no, that's a choice the project leader makes. I need to wrap this up because that wasn't actually a business call. That was my buddy who called my office for some reason, letting me know he's outside ready to bring something in that I got to help him move.
Well, in that case, I think it might be good. I mean, we've been here for about an hour and 20 minutes. I think that's probably a good place to wrap up. I'm sure there's more things we could discuss, unless there's anything else you wanted to add. TGH, Russell.
I apologize for not saying very much.
Except you did. So,
you did. Oh.
Apologies. Mm-hmm. Apology not accepted, actually. You can keep it.
Yeah.
Just incorrect. This has been the milestone episode of Take of TV's Program B, featuring TGH and Essel. And we'll be back. I haven't decided on the next topic for the next episode, or have we? And I've just completely forgotten.
We haven't decided, but hey, we always have reviews in reserve if we can't think of something.
Reserve, that's true. As if the Where's the Data was not enough. Thanks for joining us.
We just have, like, dedicated drama episode.
Could you stop interrupting my outro? Like, you do it every time.
Nope.
You positively crashed one of my episodes in order to extend it by 20 minutes, and I personally think it was very rude. I'm still waiting on an apology.
And you'll never get it.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for clicking download. Goodbye.
Goodbye. All right, if you'll excuse me, I have to go carry in a TV.
Thanks, Tarnsman.
Have fun.